Winds of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story.
We talk a lot about faith, but sometimes it's hard to define it. You know, a lot of people say faith is blind, but I disagree with that because our faith is not blind. It's based on knowledge. It's based on truth. It's based on what we've seen in our lives and the lives of others. No, I contend that faith is what makes the invisible visible. Faith is what takes the unknowing and makes it knowable. That's what I love about faith. As a matter of fact, as we're continuing on our study about Matthew, I want you to go ahead and turn over to Hebrews. What? That's what I'm saying. You got to turn over to Hebrews because this is what it defines as faith. Faith comes in here and it tells us, but then it's further given to us in Matthew. It's further opened up. It's further given context in Matthew. But I want to begin in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And it says this, now faith is the confidence. Circle that word in your Bibles if you write in your Bibles, and I suggest that you do. Circle that word confidence, underline it, highlight it, put a circle around it, do whatever you want to there, because it's important that you understand that. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance, highlight that one right there, about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand, there's another word right there, that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Let's go to the Lord and ask for some wisdom. Thank you, Father in heaven, as we open up your word and we begin even in Hebrews as we study Matthew. I love that we can do that. I love that you have designed your word to be open and flowing and moving and living, that we can connect the dots between one book and another, between one statement and another. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can always rely upon you. I can always love in you because you do not change. You are steadfast and powerful, and we love you. And we're thankful to be here. We're thankful to be a part of the body, and we're thankful to have your word with us so easily accessible in our nation that we don't have to fight for it, that we don't have to hide it in a secret place, that we can profess it from the rooftops. Lord, we're grateful to have that freedom still. Let us absorb your wisdom that we may profess its truths. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith can be an ambiguous thing even for a Christian, especially when you're beginning your walk with God and you're trying to develop what this faith is. We believe that most times faith to be blind. Well, I don't believe that because I don't think that's what the Bible says. Hebrews kind of put that to rest, though, too, when it says that faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. It is confidence and assurance. That means you know something. That doesn't mean that you kind of iffy believe in something. That means that you know something. Sure, we may not know everything, and our lives are a quest to mature in our faith, but our faith was never to be blind. It is our faith that builds on the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross. Even history doesn't argue this. Isn't then our faith built upon His faithfulness? Our faith is revealed by His faith. I know that before I accepted Christ, I came to answer the doubts of my heart with truth and reason that my faith would be on solid foundations of rock and not shifting sands of blindness. No, to have faith is what we know. It's what we have confidence in, and it eliminates doubt in our life. But without faith, one must be careful. We're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to work backwards, actually, from Matthew chapter 11. I know I do that a lot. I like doing that. Kind of gives us a new perspective on the Word. Doesn't tie us into anything specific here, but it does reveal what we are trying to say. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 20, it says this, "Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most his miracles had been performed." So here's these people, and they've seen the miracles of Jesus Christ. They are definitely not blind in what they have seen. They have tangible evidences to what Jesus is doing, to his power, to his authority, to who he is. And he's saying this as he begins to denounce these towns in which most of his miracles have been performed because they did not repent, which means they did not believe. They did not have faith. "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For the miracles that were performed in you have been performed in Tyre or in Sidon, then you would have repented long, or they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted into the heavens? No, you will go into Hades. For if the miracles were performed in you have been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." And so we begin with this great warning. You know, I was watching, it wasn't a sermon, it was kind of a video. Somebody was talking about faith and was talking about the great warnings that are in Scripture. And I pulled something from that. It was great that what they said. And they said, you know, for every encouragement that Jesus gives, he gives three warnings. You know, in our time and in our church in America, we usually just want to hear the encouragements, don't we? You can say amen, it's okay, because I like encouragement too, right? But if we never get the warning signs, think about it if you're going down the road, right? And you're driving 80 miles an hour and there's a 90 degree turn coming up. But it's dark outside and let's say there's no warning sign to tell you to slow down. What you going to do? You're going to keep it at 80, woo, you're going to fly right off the road, right? You're going to fly right into danger and you're going to destroy yourself. See, the problem with only giving encouragement, the problem with only giving love statements, the problem with only trying to lift up the individual is it allows them to be comfortable in their sin. But Jesus gives us three warnings for every encouragement because he does not want you to be unaware, as Paul would say. No, instead, he offers up this warning. Jesus warns of the fires. Folks, if you're listening to us today online, welcome to us. Welcome to our service. If you're listening in here, I want you to make one thing clear if you have not made that clear within you. Hell is a real place. And that is where some will spend eternity. Those who do not accept the message of Jesus Christ, those who do not repent of their old way of life, those who do not come to his gracious mercy will spend an eternity in punishment, for that is what they will choose. All of us have a choice in life. All of us have that choice whether to serve God or serve ourselves. This is the battleground now. This is where you pick sides. See, every battle has sides. There's no Swedens in the spiritual battle. Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against us. You're either in or you're out. There's no gray areas for faith. There's no gray areas for our promise in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ will be taken up into heaven one day and will be given the new earth and the new heaven, and it will come together and they will serve and they will love and they will be with Christ. And then there will be those who do not accept, who will stand in front of the great white throne one day and will be judged and cast into the fires for eternity. That's real. That's not fun to preach about. I would love to preach nothing but good stuff to you and make you feel good on the way out the door. But if I never challenge your heart to move from where you're from to where God wants you to be, as the Word has commanded us to do, we won't move there and we will fall away. Matthew 13, verse 41 through 43, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out in his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will be thrown in throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. See, we have to have a mind for tomorrow while we're living today. We've got to be dual-minded in that we have an eternity coming, yet we still live for today. And when we meld those things, when we have that mind for tomorrow, and if you're in Jesus Christ, that's a great mind to have because there's a lot of encouragement there. There's a lot of hope there. That's what faith is about. That's that confidence in what we do not see. That's that assurance in what we do not see, is knowing that it is going to be a better time and a better place for us in eternity than it is now. That's when we're all going to get our just reward. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not in Christ Jesus today, if you walk out of here today and you're not in Christ Jesus today and you die today, you don't have that choice any longer. That's why we offer invitation at the end of the sermon. I know some places don't do that. We do. Because I don't want you to walk out of here today with the Holy Spirit upon your heart, knowing that you could have accepted Jesus Christ today, and you walk out and you chose to turn away from Him instead of turning to Him. And then it's too late for you. And if you're listening online and you're out there online, well, we're here for a while after the service is over, and you can come on in and you can profess your faith. And you can be saved from that eternal fire. You can have a mind for tomorrow while living for today, because our faith determines our destination later. He says, woe to you. You know, I'm here to tell you, if you're hearing these words today, you're hearing the gospel. Woe to you if you turn away from it. Woe to you if you do not accept it, for it will be better for Sodom on the day of judgment than it will be for you. Folks, that's just a tough message. Sodom was a bad place. Look, if you don't know what Sodom is, I'm here to tell you, it was a horrible place. It was wiped off the face of the earth by the fires of the Lord God Almighty. And to even look back upon its destruction would be to your own destruction. That was a bad place. Now you're sitting there maybe in your chair thinking, I'm not a bad person. God wouldn't throw me into the fire. But what is your level of good and bad? Is it the same level as God's level of good and bad? Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever mistreated somebody? Have you ever said a bad word? Have you ever had a mind for something you shouldn't be thinking about? Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Have you ever done anything in your life that you were sorry for? I'm sorry, you are no longer at the level of good. You serve evil. Now you got to let that soak in. Because if you aren't in Christ Jesus, you're an agent for Satan. That's how black and white the line is, y'all. I know, I never get a lot of amens on this sermon. It's okay. It's okay. It's an uncomfortable place to be. You're like, well, but. It's okay. Because faith can save. Faith has the power of life. It's as easy as saying, yes, Lord, I believe what you told me. It's as easy as repenting from your sin and saying, I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Faith brings you to it. Unbelief brings us to death. See, the truth and to turn away is death, but to see the truth and turn to Him is life. John 20, verse 27 through 29, then He said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out and put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to Him, my Lord, my God. Then Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet will believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. That's everybody in here today who believes in Jesus Christ. That's everybody in here today that has accepted Him. You know, we haven't seen Him. in the visuals. We've seen them in our mind's eye. We may have seen some representation of them on TV, but we haven't been able to reach out and touch. But Thomas did. See, the great thing about doubt is it can be overcome by faith. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe, and that belief will move you into action. You can't walk away from it, though. You've got to hear it. And once you hear it, you now have responsibility to it. See, that's a big word we don't want to use in America today either, do we? Responsibility. We want to have to do all the actions we want to do and have no consequence for it. We want to go out and do whatever we want to do and have no responsibility for it. I'm here to tell you that's not how Jesus or God works. He says, once you hear my word, you are responsible for it, and you can't walk away from it and expect to live. Matthew 10, verse 19 through 22. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you that is spoken, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death. Father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. See, your faith brings you there, but if you don't have it, you're going to be on the opposite side. You're going to be your brother that's hating your brother. But if you have faith, you can stand to the end and be saved. You could stand to the end and be saved. That's what faith is all about. That's what it means to have confidence in it. Proverbs 14, verse 26, in the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, and his children will have refuge in it. See, that's the encouraging word. Have faith and live. Have faith and live. Folks, it's that easy in a world that tells you that good stuff is never easy. It's that simple. God is not the God of trickery, trying to trick you into a place he doesn't want you to be. God is the God of, I'm going to make this as easy as possible for you. Look, at the beginning we broke it. He said, all you got to do is not eat that tree. That was pretty easy, right? Now we got all these other rules we have to follow. But back then it was just don't eat from the tree and you're good. We couldn't do that. Well, then we broke that, and then he come along and he made the law. And he says, hey, look, just follow the law with your heart and with love and focus on me, and you'll be saved. It's easy. And people say, I can't do that either. They said, okay, look, I knew this was going to happen, but here we are. I'm going to give you my son, Jesus Christ. He's going to live the life you should have lived. He's going to die on a cross for you, and he's going to be raised on the third day. All you got to do is repent and believe, and you're in. I have so many people that say that's just too easy to be true. But it's not. It's not when you make that decision and you repent and you turn. Now your life is going to be flipped upside down. Because that faith and that belief that you have in you is going to cause you to come alive. It's going to start to give you eyes that see both internal inside of yourself what needs to be changed and both outside into the people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to repent and be saved. And we find it here. Let's just read this, the story of the leper. I love this story. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 8. Told you I was working backwards. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed from leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Not a testimony to himself, a testimony to them. He said, go out and be part of the gospel. I love what happened here because the leper came up to him. And you got to imagine this leper's heard all about Jesus. He had to know who Jesus was because otherwise he wouldn't know who to approach. But yet he sees Jesus, and without doubt, he walks up to him and says, if you're willing, I can be made clean. He didn't walk up to Jesus and say, you know, I heard some things. I heard you're like this really cool dude. Heard some people got healed and stuff by you. I'm pretty sure you could do the same thing for me if you're willing. No, he walked up to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. There was no doubt in the statement. He saw and believed in Christ Jesus. He understood because he knew. He believed and he knew. He knew. He had confidence. You know, I wonder when we approach the Lord sometimes in our prayer, do we pray the same things? What is it you're struggling with in life? Did you look at the Lord and say, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean? Or do we go to him and say, well, you know, I heard this story once and you did some things for somebody else and I don't know if you can do them for me, but I sure appreciate it if you tried. I prayed like that. I prayed like that because I didn't think I was good enough. I prayed like that because I didn't fully believe. I had my doubts. You know what's funny about God is just like with Thomas, even inside of my doubts, he answers my prayers. That my confidence and my faith would grow. But I'm here to tell you, when you pray with confidence that God will answer, there's authority in your prayer. There's a conviction that wells up with inside of you. That the Holy Spirit kind of takes hold and you starts to say, he's getting it. He's getting it. He's getting there, Lord. Look at him go. You know, God and the Holy Spirit are your biggest cheerleaders in life. They want to see you. They're out there going, woo, let's go. Let's go, right? With the little pom-poms and stuff. They got it going on. Right? They're cheering you on. They want to see you succeed in your faith. They want to see you grow in your faith. And every time they do, all of heaven rejoices. Amen? Aren't you glad? Amen? I don't know if you're excited, but I'm starting to get excited like I want to break out in some prayer time right now, y'all. It should bring excitement to us. Look what it says in Proverbs 11, verse 9. Look at what it says. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Look what it says. When you know something, it's a part of your faith. Look, I've seen so much that God has done, I can't unknow it anymore. That's how you know something, is when you can't reverse it any longer. It's a fact. And that brings the second part of faith, and that's the doing. See, Jesus didn't say, I'm glad you had no doubt, be healed. He says, now go present yourself as a testimony. See, that's the second part of faith, is when our faith starts to grow, there's this action part of faith. James tells us the very same thing. And he tells, hey, look, the demons, you know, they see and they believe in God and even they tremble. We look at another part of James and he even tells us, he says, oh, show me your faith without deeds. And he goes on to say, faith without works is dead. Right? Faith without works is dead because he knows that in our faith, it's going to automatically turn into what God is calling us to be and told him what it's going to do. And we go be the doers. Be doers of your faith. Are we the doers? Let me try and put it in a little context for you. If I was sitting here telling you, and you believe me, and I said, man, first person to the bank gets $1 million. Y'all wouldn't even be sitting here anymore. I'll be like, I get the sermon next week. Yet when it comes to our faith in Christ Jesus, he says the same thing. He says, pray in me and I will answer you. Say to this mountain, uproot yourself and be cast into the sea, and it will be done when you believe, when you have faith, when your faith is born of doing, when you truly have zero doubt left. You don't believe me? Let's look at the official here in Matthew chapter 9. I know I lied. I'm going back forward again. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18, I want to pick up here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 23. I got it backwards here. We're in another place. I'm sorry. We're going to go with the little girl here. While he was saying this, Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciple. Just then, jump down to 23 and finish up the story. We'll get to that other part here in a minute. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd, the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away." Jesus was kind of rude sometimes, y'all. I'm just letting you know. "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. Again, we see that there is zero doubt in the temple leader here. He goes to Jesus and he says, "Look, just come and put your hand on my daughter and she will rise." Look, how many of us call upon Christ to raise the dead these days? Right? But Jesus isn't around anymore. I get it. How many of us pray with that kind of confidence on anything we ask of the Lord Jesus? Or do we pray and hope with the hope of the world and not the hope of faith? The hope of the world is that wringing hands hope. This is, I'm pretty sure this is true, but I'm not quite sure. Right? Like when you're praying, I want to win the lottery, right? That kind of prayer. Right? I've been there. I prayed that one before. That one doesn't ever work, okay? It works for somebody. Somebody wins the lottery, all right? And I know they're praying for it. It got to be. But I'm talking about confident prayer, confidence that says that we call out to the Lord and the Lord will do, even though others might doubt. Look what happened here. As we get up there, he says, "Get out. She's not dead, but asleep." And what do? They laugh at him. In their unbelief, they laugh at him. They didn't even realize who he was. Proverbs 14, verse 6 speaks about this, and it says, "The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning." If we pray on something, and it's something of the Lord, and it's something of the kingdom, and it's something that we can do to bring about more of the kingdom and more of his word and more people to it, I'm here to tell you, God's going to answer these things, and he's going to answer them outright and with authority. See, he had to throw those out that had doubt. He had to throw them out. He said, "Get out of here. You don't believe? Just get out. You don't even need to be around. Your faith is detestable to me because you have none. Matter of fact, get out." And he put them outside. There's a great imagery going on here. I'm here to tell you, get to heaven, God's either going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or he's going to say, "Away from me, evildoers, I knew you not." Where's your faith? Is it in the Lord? Because faith is a powerful weapon against unbelief and against despair. Faith takes a look at this world and says, "I know it's broken. And I know wickedness is going to abound. I know bad things are going to happen. And I know situations may be thrust on me. But my mind is for tomorrow while I'm living for today. Because this world has no hold on me. What's the worst the world can do to me? Kill me? I win. What's the worst the world can do to me? Make me live in prison like Joseph? I win. Because the Lord has already won." That's where my faith is at. Folks, when we get there, and I know it takes a long time for some of us to get there, and it's something you have to work out in your own life, you begin to see death not as the enemy, but as the door opening into your eternity. And we stop fearing things like that. And that's a tough place to come to, because everything in our flesh screams out, "I don't want to die." But everything in my spirit cries out, "Unless I die, I cannot depart and be with the Lord." Only when I depart can I be with the Lord in heaven. That's what my faith and confidence says, and that's what destroys despair and throws out unbelief. because the Lord has been so good to me. And my faith is not blind. It's born of experience. It first began with Jesus Christ and upon the cross. Folks, before I came to the Lord, I did a lot of research about this whole cross business and Jesus, because a lot of people try to tell me it's some made-up story. And the more I went into history and the more I pulled out the evidences, the more I realized it is clear that there was a man named Jesus. And he lived in the time that the Bible says he lived. And he did the things that he said he did. And he died the way he said he died. And if all of that's true, then there's no reason to doubt that he was resurrected and sits at the right hand of God today. I look at the evidences of the scripture and several eyewitness testimony accounts, hundreds of eyewitness testimony accounts that see Jesus after his crucifixion alive again, and I cannot doubt. And then I came to my faith and I proclaimed Jesus as Lord. And now I feel just like the woman who touched the hem. This is 9. And I told you we're going to get back to this. 9 and verse 20. And just then a woman had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. And Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, or take courage, daughter. He said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. She had seen what was true and she reached out for it. Folks, I have seen what is true and I reach out for it, and I have to do it every day. Do not be ashamed of your faith, but be courageous in that. Don't let people tell you you're weak because you got faith. Don't let people tell you you're weak because you need a Savior. Don't let people tell you you're weak because you feel like you need to be strong, but you're not. Don't let people tell you you're weak because you believe in a God that will save you. No, he says, take courage, my daughter. You have been healed because you reached out in knowing faith. Your faith was not blind, but born of what you knew to be real. Folks, I'm here to tell you I've seen it. I've seen it in my marriage. We had a rough go, my wife and I. I always tell people we almost didn't make it. We almost became a statistic in this world. And we had about 3 years. It was tough. And we were heading over here, and we were in western Kansas, and my wife got into a pretty big accident. I thought I was going to lose her. And it clicked in me. And it wasn't long after that we moved, and my wife and I sat down and said, man, we got to get back into the family. We got to get back into church. We got to get back in with Christ. I saw evil play out upon my marriage, and I saw God reach in and heal it. But we had to reach out to him. We had to reach out and take hold of the him. We had to believe and have confidence that he would do it. And he did. And he did. And he allowed our faith to build, not through miracles, not through what we would think is the hyper-spiritual things. We saw it build through confidence in him. We saw it build through the answered prayers that would come about. We did it because we didn't let God be small in our lives. We had faith he could be big. Rex said that the other night. I love what he said. I'm not going to let my God be small. Too often our faith isn't growing and our God stays small because we don't reach out and grab the him. We don't have confidence in that. But when we do, God gets awful big. And we do that by staying diligent in our faith. Now we're to the centurion. Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13. Because this is an amazing story. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, look, I wished I had all day to talk about this. Stay for going deeper. You can ask questions about this. We'll maybe get into this a little deeper. Folks, our study afterwards, we go into some good, deep stuff there. Hang out there. Some good stuff. You can ask questions. That's our Bible study time. Join us for that because I want to get into what this is. Oh, man, this is you wouldn't even believe it. Here we go. Lord, he says in verse 6, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? Love how Jesus always asked the question. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Wow. I say to you that many will come from the east and west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where will there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go! Let it be done just as you have believed it would be. And his servant was healed at that moment. What a powerful story. It's not a story, it's real. It's not like I'm reading some kind of parable. This is a real story. The centurion came to him and he exercised his faith. See, part of being diligent is faith, is exercising your faith. How many times have you prayed for something and then waited for it to happen before you acted out on faith on it? You know, sometimes we get the cart before the horse on that. Jesus says, pray and it will be done. Why then do we not have the confidence to go out? See, the centurion didn't need Jesus to come all the way back. He said, hey, just say it'll be done and it'll be done. I know that's how authority works. He says, your word is good enough. Your word is powerful enough. Your word has healing in it. Just say it will be done and it will be done. And he didn't sit around waiting for somebody to bring him a message that he had been healed. No, he went. He went back because he knew it had been done. How often do we pray and then we act on it before we even see the fruits of it? Now, some stuff we have to pray on and we have to wait. But how often do we pray and then act upon it as if we believe it? See, that's what it takes. It takes us doing that in our prayer, in our reading, in our giving, and in our serving. Folks, we have to pray about it and we got to act on it. That's what faith is. How often do we share these things with others? Two. Oh, man. How often do you guys share your faith stories with people? Look, I know people are going to look at you like you're crazy. I know. How do I know? Because I share my faith stories with people and they look at me like I'm crazy. Right? How many of y'all share a faith story and people look at you like you're crazy? Amen. Yeah, thank you for answering. Thank you for being honest. I appreciate it. Look, I want to make sure I wasn't all by myself. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. But you got to share your faith stories. You got to share what God is doing in your life. And you know what? Some will believe it and some won't believe it. That ain't up to you. What's up to you is to share it, to be excited about it. Now look here. Look here. Look, it wasn't this year. Y'all tried and didn't quite make it. Okay, but last year when y'all won the Super Bowl, right, the Kansas City Chiefs, right, for you those that support them. Look, you look downtown Kansas City, look at all those people out there, right, acting a fool because people they don't even know won some kind of game that they weren't even a part of. Yeah, you ask a Christian to share a faith story. Let me tell you, this is the Super Bowl of Super Bowls. This is going to heaven. This is God moving in miraculous ways in your life. And you talking to people like, well, folks, there's power in revealing your faith to others. Don't be surprised when you see others see your faith and believe. Matthew 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Practice with courage. Be the superhero of faith. You know, courage isn't not being afraid. It's being afraid and doing it anyway. Right? There's a lot of people with courage that do idiotic things in this world. I've been that guy, right? When I was a little kid and we had bicycles, boy, we all had courage back then. I got scars still from that. Right? You build the biggest ramp you think you can ever build in your life, and then you jump off from it, and you think, man, we're cool. We had courage then, right? What happens to our faith? Why do we lose it? Because the world tells us that your faith is personal and you shouldn't share it? Two things they tell you to talk about in life, right? Religion and politics. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, give them a testimony of your faith and see if I don't heal. And then practice it with zeal. Folks, you got to kind of get excited about it, right? How many of y'all went out to this week, last week, and said, hey, man, y'all got to come hear the word of God because people be going crazy in that place, right? You ought to see my heart change. I was moved. I'm doing some things different. Woo! Y'all look, see, I told you that when I have faith stories, y'all look at me like I'm weird and like I'm crazy, right? That takes faith to share things like that. How many of us were moved and went and told people about how we were moved this week? How many people said, man, you got to come and you got to hear the word of God this Sunday because that word is powerful and it moves in your life? If we were a little bit bigger cheerleader for the faith, maybe our sanctuaries would be a little more full. But that's a part of growing in that faith, is practicing that zeal which comes along with it. Watch what God can do. Because I've seen sinners set free. Folks, I used to go all the time. We're getting back into it. We go to this men's charge. See, a lot of people have retreats, right? This is a bunch of men, and I know the guys that organized this and kicked it off, and they started doing it. And it's kind of loosely based around some of the other things that men go to, some of the men conventions that we go to. Anyway, we call them men's charge. Most people call them retreats. All right, these are all military men. Military men know we don't retreat. We charge. Okay. When you see the devil looking in your face, guess what you do? You charge. When you see sin standing in the way, guess what you do? You don't retreat, you charge. You go in and you defeat the enemy. I've seen these men freed from porn addiction. I've seen women freed from abusive relationships. I've seen people freed from drug addiction, from alcohol addiction. I've seen God move on people in powerful ways. I've seen the guilty release their past and come to freedom in who Jesus is. I'm here to tell you, I've seen people be healed by the word. Power of God. We had an elder who was having all kinds of, he had kidney things, he had dialysis, he going on, he had all kinds of pain, and I remember them calling me that day. So we're going to the ER again. Usually it was an ER visit in a day, and he was back out, and I said, okay, I'll be up there in a little bit. I'll be up there to pray with him. That was back when we could go in hospitals. You know, it was an amazing time. And I started on my way. They said, Pastor, you need to hurry up. We're not sure he's going to make it. So I put on the speedometer a little bit more. See, I got faith. I put a little more on the speedometer. Ain't going to be no highway patrol, right? That's faith. I don't know if it's the right faith, but it's faith. I called some of my guys and I said, look, we need to start praying. Matter of fact, we need to start organizing. We need to get a prayer vigil going. We need to have people in the sanctuary. We need to have people just praying over this situation. And I got up there and I prayed over him. And I hurried up and I hurried back. And we started up this prayer vigil, 24-hour prayer vigil. The moment we began to pray, he was healed. Hour later, he walked out of the ER. That's a faith story. The power that God moved in that day could not be denied. And folks, I'm here to tell you, I've watched the blind see. Had a young man, very adamant atheist, and I had great discussion, logic discussions. I'm not always logical, but I love great logic discussions. This is true because A, B, and C. And A, B, and C are true, so this is true. We had great logic arguments. And he kept testifying back to me about his atheism and everything else. And we went on, and he was a young man in one of my classes, and we were having these discussions, and he moved on, and he got PCS out, went to another place in the military, and it was about 6 months later, he sends me a letter, an email back, and he says, "Hey, look, Sergeant Milder, I just want to say that I appreciate everything you did." He says, "I see the faith you were talking about now, and I have been saved." Do we tell these stories to the world? They're looking for the evidences in our lives of who God is. Folks, we got to have word and we got to have deed to have faith. If we're praying in word but we never act out in deed, our faith will never come to fruition. If we're only acting out but we're not giving our word and it's not God's word, we will never get deeper in love with Him. I'm here to tell you, if we work out in faith by word and deed, our faith will grow. You will have your faith testaments that you can give to the world. And in a world that is dying to hear good news, we have the best news. So let us go forth in our faith. Let's grab hold as if we are not blind, but that we see, as if we have confidence in what we believe in, as if what we have here is true. I'm here to tell you, if we're reading this and we're reading it like we don't believe it, other people aren't going to believe it. If we're reading this and we're not doing what it says, how will others come to know it? I'm here to tell you that when we read it and we do what it says and we're calling out upon the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and it's happening and it's moving, I'm here to tell you it will blow their minds. And they will see your good deeds and worship our Lord in heaven. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for faith. First, your faith. Your faith which brought you to the cross. Your faith in love which brought us salvation. In your faith alone can we be saved, that our faith may grow. That your faith, it takes a hold by the Holy Spirit inside of me, and it lets my faith grow deeper in love with you every day. That it allows my eyes to see the evidences of your glory everywhere. Praise you, Lord, for this faith. Praise you, Lord, for your faith. I pray that somehow the word seeps into the hearts of the people today, that they would hear your word and come to know you. That they would see your glory and come to know you. If there's anybody out here today, Lord, I pray that you would put it upon their hearts to answer the Spirit as He calls, to have that faith, to step out, to have courage in that faith to come forward and to glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for those who will answer. We thank you, Lord, for those who have answered, who are now great superheroes of faith. Let it always be so in your precious name. Amen. Faith is a crazy thing. Faith is a crazy thing for those who have it, you know it. And for those who don't know, you know it too. Faith is an awesome thing because the power that it brings with it. Faith is a powerful thing because it lends us to confidence into what we cannot see, yet believe and know to be true. Faith is awesome because it's not blind. As someone, I hear it on TV all the time. Oh, you got blind faith. I'm sitting here to tell you, no, I don't. My eyes see the truth of Jesus Christ. I see Him moving in this world. I see the promises and the proclamations coming true every day of what He said it would be and wouldn't be. I see those growing in faith day by day as they put their trust in Him, as they act out in Him. I love seeing that the faith can move mountains, y'all. Sometimes those are physical mountains. Sometimes those are emotional mountains. Sometimes those are spiritual mountains. But the mountain can be moved. And I'm here to tell you, if you got something in your life today that you need moved, today's the day to have faith. Maybe it's that you need your sin moved out of your life. Maybe it's that you need to be cleansed and brought back to life. Maybe it's that you need to accept Christ for the first time. That you need to come to Him and you need to declare His glory. And you need to just say, man, I want to have faith, Lord. I want to do what the Word commands me to do. I want to have courage. I want to reach for the hem of your garment that I may be healed. Or maybe you're in Jesus today. Maybe you just need prayer upon you for some faith to come back into you. You know, prayer for other people is such a powerful thing. Sometimes we need to do it ourselves, and sometimes we need people praying all on us as we're trying to pray ourselves that God moves, that God's authority would be put upon you once again, that you would remember what it's like to have a childlike faith, one that doesn't doubt but believes. Remember what Jesus told us. He said, unless you got faith like this child here, you cannot be my disciple. And that's because they ran to him. They believed in him. They had confidence in him. So maybe today you need to run to him and have prayer on your heart and on your life. Or maybe you need prayer for healing. This is a great time for prayer for healing. I got some elders in the room. We can get you some oil out. We can anoint you. Just as it tells us to do in James. We'd love to do whatever it is the Spirit is calling upon you to do, whatever the Spirit is moving you to be or to do in this time. And I'm here to tell you, if you're online, you're not exempt. You can come down, you can PM me, you can give me whatever you need in this thing, Lord. Whatever you need the Lord to do in your life, we can do that for you. Only if you answer the Spirit's call as we stand and we sing.